This is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
It's news time. So weird to tell the news person something and have them go, what?
Yeah, it's odd.
Why?
Well, you know, I'm usually over there.
Other news. Yeah.
I get my updates from Mad TV Magazine. So from the 90s.
Old episodes are old copies of Cracked.
Yeah, wait till I tell you what. Wait till I tell you what Bill Clinton did.
Wow.
But coming up in the news, you've got he got what with the HelloFresh order, and science actually says it's good for you. So stop trying to tell me how to live my life.
Thank you.
News is brought to you by Huffman and Huffman. If you've been hurt in an accident, you need to think about two things: family and money. The brothers-in-law will take care of both. Call Huffman and Huffman now at 422-HELP. Real quick, want to get this out of the way. Police in Norfolk are asking you to avoid the 600 block of East Ingram Court in Norfolk. That is a military housing complex. Until further notice, they're asking you to stay away from there. They are dealing with what they're calling a barricade situation.
Oh, that's not good.
They've been there since 2 a.m. No other details have been released so far, but just stay away from the area if at all possible.
All right.
Security officials are set to answer for the January 6 failures at the Capitol. Congress is going to hear from former security officials about what went wrong at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th when a violent mob laid siege to the Capitol and interrupted the counting of electoral votes. Three of the four testifying today resigned under pressure immediately after the attack, including the former head of the Capitol Police. Much is still unknown about the attack, and lawmakers are demanding answers. Two of the officials will be speaking publicly for the first time since their resignations: former Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stenger and former House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving. So we'll see what happens with all that. Staying on Capitol Hill, the President Joe Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and her husband Doug Emhoff led a national moment of silence at sundown from the White House yesterday in remembrance of the United States going over the 500,000 mark for confirmed coronavirus deaths. Governor Ralph Northam has announced that Virginia flags will fly at half-mast until sunset on Friday to honor those who have died of COVID after a similar proclamation from the White House. Johns Hopkins University reported the deaths Monday as more than 28 million Americans have contracted the virus nationwide. The U.S. previously hit 400,000 deaths from the virus on the eve of President Joe Biden's inauguration on January 19th. So it took less than 5 weeks to rise from 400,000 to 500,000.
Well, it's exponential at some point.
Yep.
So we're not even a year into this, right?
Just barely? I think we're just barely a year
into
it.
And I only say that, but we're not a year into the lockdown. Wasn't it March the 13th?
Yes.
So. When Virginia, and I just remember being out for dinner with my wife thinking, this is the last time we're going to be out anywhere. It's getting weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Places were half empty, and people were hesitant to, you know, go in and out and whatnot.
Yeah. But even now, I mean, we're getting on March now, so we're getting almost to a year there as well.
Sure. So you're talking about 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Expired.
Yes, expired.
Expired in that year.
They have talked about how many people have actually contracted the virus. It was more than 28 million have contracted the virus nationwide.
That
so
sounds
far.
Low.
More than 64.2 million Americans have received their first shot of the vaccine. So that's good news.
Yeah.
The CDC reports that more than 75 million doses have been distributed across the country. This is good news, too, especially locally. Ride sharing service Lyft is working with CVS to help provide access to transportation for people that need the COVID-19 vaccine. It's in an effort to address inequities related to the COVID-19 vaccine access in vulnerable communities. Uber also made a similar announcement a little earlier this month about a partnership with Walgreens, so that's good news for everybody.
Good. So if you don't have a ride, you can get one.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, speaking of which, a meal delivery service, a little different with a similar idea, apologized Sunday after a customer received a bottle of urine with their order.
I didn't see that on the menu.
No.
I was looking for a bottle of thirst-quenching urine.
The liquid, which arrived in an empty plastic Coca-Cola bottle, was included in a HelloFresh meal kit delivered to an address in the UK. Quote, "Hey, HelloFresh UK, I'll keep it simple. Why have I received someone's bottled-up urine as part of my order?"
Yeah, yeah.
Oliver McManus tweeted on Sunday with a photo of the bottle. When Twitter users speculated apple juice, McManus offered to return the bottle to HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you and you can have a whiff because you're skeptical.
Oh, wow.
Others suggested it may have accidentally been left there by a warehouse worker or a delivery driver. McManus agreed, saying the box was already partially opened when it arrived.
Sure.
HelloFresh apologized and is investigating, but McManus is concerned about worker conditions and doesn't want anyone to be fired as a result.
Yellow fresh.
Yeah.
I love it. Of all the services, though, it's the one that's fresh. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Should have arrived warm. You call this fresh? Just this angry note. If it were fresh, it would be warm. How dare you?
I've never used HelloFresh. I've heard great things. This doesn't make me eager to try it, though. I've got to be perfectly honest with you.
No.
They'll look into that. This is some pretty cool news. SpaceX is planning to launch its first all-civilian flight this fall, which is very cool. We've talked about that previously.
Sure.
And a 29-year-old woman who beat cancer as a kid just got a free ticket. Her name is Haley Arsenault, and she was a patient at St. Jude's 2 decades ago. Now she works there as a physician's assistant, and she's always been fascinated with space.
A few months before I was diagnosed, my family went to NASA in Houston. Of course, I wanted to be an astronaut after I went there.
I think she's going to send a message to the world that you can face, you know, really, really difficult times, even as a child, and still grow up and fulfill your dreams.
Honestly, I'm not nervous at all. And I think that my cancer journey prepared me for this.
I mean,
good for you.
I mean, she beat it as a kid. At that point, what are you afraid of?
Yeah, I guess. So, I don't know the particulars.
But she's going to go up there. A billionaire named Jared Isaacman is paying for her seat, which is very cool.
That's very nice. I don't know if I would go to space. I don't think I would at this point.
Really?
I don't think so. Yeah. I've done some other cool stuff. I've really been blessed in this life.
You've gotten to fly with the
Blue Angels for one.
Yeah, you got to captain the the Goodyear blimp.
I got to fly the Goodyear blimp.
The Goodyear blimp.
I did. That's true. And that's weird because the thing goes straight up and down. It's a balloon.
Yeah.
So it is really weird. The acclimation there is you're all but on your back pointing skyward. But this thing with leaving, oh man, I don't know. That's awful risky.
It is. I think I'm there with you.
It's chance of a lifetime, obviously.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's like, okay, would I be better off just at a sunny location watching it happen?
Yes. Would I be better off just reporting on the...
Perhaps I could just watch the launch with a drink in my hand.
Right. That's still cool.
Yeah, that's still all right.
By the way, you can also win a seat by donating at least $10 to St. Jude's by this Sunday. So if you're interested in that, that's an option as well.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about space. NASA landed the rover Perseverance on Mars recently to look signs of past microbial life. Did you see the images?
I've seen some.
That they beamed back? Really cool looking.
It has like 19 cameras on it.
Yeah.
It's like the iPhone 105.
Yes, you know what I mean? Essentially.
It's covered in cameras. And the thing has a drone with it. The thing has like its own helicopter.
Yeah. Which is neat.
Which they'll be coptering around soon.
Yeah.
They can only go, what did they say, a little bit over a minute because of it's solar powered.
Right.
So we can only like go 1 minute in any direction, but you can get pretty far.
Depending on how fast you can get going, you can move pretty far. Now, here's the thing. NASA has released the first true audio recorded on the surface of Mars.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty neat. Here, I think this is it right here. You're going to have to listen closely. Sorry, that was in...
Wow.
I think that was in Rod's production room this morning. Forgot that mic was in there.
Wow.
No, this is what it actually sounded like. Very similar. It's just windy.
Yeah. So it's wind?
Yeah.
That's what we believe the noise to be is wind. Wind. It's not some low-level bass.
They're just... At this point, saying it just sounds...
I assumed it was windy. Every once in a while, there's a picture of a dust devil.
Yeah. Which, I mean, so if you're expecting to hear aliens up there or something, you might be disappointed.
That's interesting. But we would have freaked out if it hadn't just been the wind.
Oh, if it had been
there's
something...
some, like, high-pitched squeal or some plaintiff wail.
That would have been slightly terrifying,
no kidding.
That would have...
Pack up the rover. Let's get the hell out of here.
All of a sudden, you hear, hey, how you doing?
what caller am I?
Yeah, what? But yeah, between the pictures and the sound, it's just cool the idea that all this came from another world.
It is literally another world. I know, isn't that crazy?
That's so nuts. And it just kind of goes hand in hand with the story, you know, about the girl going up in space.
The astronaut. Yeah, yeah.
How far we've come since the 60s.
Amazing.
And yeah. An American Airlines flight actually flying between Cincinnati and Phoenix had a weird encounter as well, with what its crew described as a long cylindrical object. He hated to have to call it that, too.
Do we have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
That's frightening.
Yeah,
they said it was moving extremely fast over their aircraft. The incident occurred over the remote northeast corner of New Mexico. So, of course, everybody gets speculating.
Oh, yeah.
Over New Mexico, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
But that's weird to
Area
me.
Area 51.
Yeah. When you get these pilots who, you know, I mean, if they have no history of this, it's weird when they come out with these things and they say, hey, what is that? That's like,
yeah,
I can't identify.
Yeah.
It's just strange.
Oh, very.
It's just strange.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super uncomfortable.
We can't have stuff in the sky.
No, we can't have stuff in the sky.
It's a much more crowded place.
Things especially that we can't identify.
Have you ever seen the app that shows you every airplane that's in the air?
No.
Over the United States?
No.
Yeah. Open that up the next time you want to go fly somewhere. It's terrifying.
Wow, man. And
there's, you know, what at least a third less, maybe a half less than there used to be because people just don't fly.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You can't believe the air traffic. It's amazing.
I'm going to have to get that app name from you so I can look that up. I got that other one from you where I can see all the stars and the planets
and
stuff.
Yeah.
We did that more recently when they said, like, I don't remember what it was, Venus or something was visible.
Oh, sure.
And my girlfriend and I went out there with the phone and we're just pointing
at
the sky looking around.
You can find everything in the night sky.
Well, then we got fascinated. We got stuck there looking around going, that's the ISS. Oh, hey, that's the, you know, it's, you know. It was really neat, just pointing it up there. Like
there's a three-dimensional model at the Jet Propulsion Lab website that only shows space junk.
Space junk. Wow.
Yeah. Everything that's broken.
Michael just showed me a thing of all the flights.
Map. Yeah, and that's way off. That's way down from like pre-pandemic levels.
Moly, that's crazy. All right, well, I'll finish with this because I promised it to you. Science says that it's good for you, finally. It's about time scientists spoke up in defense of something that's been unfairly attacked for so many years. The latest scientific word is that cheese is not bad for you after all.
Cheese.
There have been several recent major studies in the past decade that found that cheese got an unfair reputation because of the misguided anti-fat guidelines in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Those studies found that what really makes you gain weight are things like refined grains, potatoes, processed meats. Cheese didn't cause people to gain weight, and sometimes it even helped lose fat.
That's weird.
Yeah. The dean of the Tufts School of Nutrition Science in Massachusetts says, quote, there's almost no evidence cheese causes weight gain, and in fact, there's evidence that it's neutral at worst.
Yum.
There's no evidence that cheese is linked to cardiovascular disease, and in some studies, it's even a little bit associated with lower risk. And then for diabetes, again, it's at worst neutral and maybe protective.
So is this one of these things where because it's mostly fat, we just decided we'd cut it out, you know?
Yeah.
Eat less fat, get less fat.
Right.
But it doesn't work like that.
Because that was our thing in the 80s and the 90s was you're just cutting out fat.
Yeah, don't eat eggs.
Yes, they're horrible for you.
And then they come to find out they're not at all terrible for you.
Right, yeah.
The whole thing's BS.
Eggs is one of those things that I feel like every other week we have different feelings on.
Coffee, same category.
Yes, exactly.
There's always a study of some kind.
Well, thankfully, my doctor at the moment is pro-coffee. They have recommended that I drink at least one cup a day. At least.
For your health?
Yes. Yeah. For they said it's good for liver health.
Okay, well. And
I'm like,
talk to me. I am proof of this, man.
It's what keeps you pumping.
Saving me. Drinking coffee, however, can change the structure of your brain.
I'm okay with that.
Swiss researchers gave volunteers 3 150-milligram servings of caffeine every day for 10 days. It was a caffeine intake equating to 4 or 5 small cups of brewed coffee or 7 single espressos. In a day.
Wow.
And they found that it actually caused a reduction in gray matter, which is the actual useful part of your brain.
What?
However, the effect was temporary and came back if you just went without for 10 days.
Well, see, now that's a problem because I know people who can't go a day without their coffee.
No, and I could easily drink 7 espressos.
Oh, you could, sir.
Oh, my God, I would love to try. I would love to try, baby. Well,
maybe today's the day.
Maybe today.
Today we're going to be sunny with a high near 63.
Nice.
Loving that. Tonight, clear with a low around 37. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 64. Last check, 39 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. With the news, I'm Sean Hood for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.